Are we ready? Okay, let's stand for a few minutes. And we'll read some portions from the scripture. The first portion is from Genesis chapter 14. Turn there, Genesis 14. Check. We'll read from verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedor Laomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Except only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Okay, then we turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Starting at verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but was made to look like unto the Son of God. Okay, and abideth a priest continually. Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless this message to our hearts. Thank you for each one of us who are here. Minister to us, edify us today. Just really quicken us in every way. Father, we pray. And also the baptism service to follow after the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's be seated. The background to Genesis 14, the verses from where we read today, had to do with a war. There was a battle. Four kings versus five kings. Okay. And they met in the Vale of Siddim. The confrontation happened, which is the Salt Sea. It is actually the Dead Sea. How many of you have been there, the Dead Sea? If you've been to Israel, you can float on that. You know, you won't get drowned. They met right there. And the conflict was on. And what happened was the four kings prevailed over the five kings in verse 9 and 10. Because the valley of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountains. Okay. So this battle was on. At this time, before this battle had happened, Lot separated. Lot was Abraham's nephew. He separated from Abram because of the people that each one had. The herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram started fighting with each other. The fighting went up to Lot and Abram, and then there was a split. So Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and said, oh, I'll go there and I'll settle down there. And he bought his 30-40 site and he constructed a house and he started living there. And then of course this happened. There was a war and the king of Sodom was losing the battle. They took off. So normally when a battle is over, the people who lost are plundered totally, isn't it? So these four kings, what they did was they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their victuals and went their way, even people. In verse 12 it says, they even took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. It's interesting, you know. You know, I always thought Abram was the soft guy, you know. Just like, you know, soft hands. But he was a warrior. He gets the news, Lot was taken captive. So he had three people who were confederate with him in Canaan, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. They joined him. And then Abram had 318 trained men. So he had a six pack. He was like, you know, Abram is like this peaceful man. Just say, Lord, please don't fight. Take whatever you want. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. But here we see he's armed them in verse 14. You know, sometimes when God calls us to fight, you got to fight, isn't it? And God says, tells us to stay still. We have to stay still. And God tells us, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. But after that, God hasn't told what to do. You get slaps on both the cheeks and then after that, God, okay, anyway, I'm just joking. But if God tells you to give your coat to somebody, give it. Like, you know, so Abraham was, his faith in God was something amazing. So he pursues and he goes, joins a battle. And he wins a battle for the king of Sodom. Is that amazing? And he brought back everything. People who were taken captive, including his brother Lot and all the goods. You know, in Genesis chapter 13, we do see that it was Lot's decision to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Genesis 14, we see that it was Abram's relationship with God that caused Lot to be rescued. Okay? There were three aspects of the life of faith of Abram here, right before this battle. His faith demonstrated the first principle that faith purifies the heart. He had separated himself from the pollutions of Sodom, and his heart was purified from it. Lot did not give heed to that. Isn't it? And the reason Abraham had this life of separation from the pollution of the world was because Abraham had an altar and a tent. And we mentioned in one of the services before, altar speaks of consecration, worship, prayer, all these things. Tent speaks of this, that tent speaks, does not refer to an ascetic life. It does not refer to an ascetic life. Tent means we use what God has given us as far as our possessions go, but we are not attached to those things. We use what God gives us, but our affections are not set on those. God has given us all things freely to enjoy. So if God gives us a gift, don't say, I'm living a tent life. I don't need that. No, go for it. If it is of God. It means that we use what God has given us, but our identity is not based on that. We use what God has given us, but our decisions are not based on that. In fact, our decisions in life are based on the will of God for our life. That is the principle of a tent life. So Abraham had this altar, and he also had a tent life. And often, if we go by the wisdom that is of the world, a believer who has an altar and a tent in his life normally stands to be mocked upon, because he lives in a very interesting way, which is very different from how the world thinks, right? But really, the best way to be effective in the world is to separate ourselves from the world. The best way to be actually effective when a time and an opportunity comes is if that person has separated himself from the world. And this separation cannot happen without a believer having an altar and a tent in his personal life. Okay? When it was necessary for someone to step in, Lot is taken captive. Lot is taken captive. But till that time, Abraham looked like a person who maybe lacked the wisdom. He was not going after what he could have had. When it was necessary to make an impact, when it was necessary to render an important service for people, it was a man who had the altar and the tent who could render that service in the world. Isn't that amazing? So why? Because Abraham's life had to do with a faith that purifies. Our hearts are purified by faith in Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. There are many times, sometimes we reason concerning the sphere of our usefulness in the world. It is possible we can reason alongside what God has said and just consider the sphere in which I can be useful in the world. And in the process, become a captive like Lot. And in the process, lose our power with God because of the sphere of our usefulness. In fact, to make an impact in the world, it is important to stay away from the world. That doesn't mean we should live on a tree somewhere. You know, we have a tent life. So this was what Abraham was characterized by. His heart was purified by faith. Secondly, he had a faith that worked by love. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, he had a faith that worked by love. You know, genuine faith, it is independent of the world, but it is not indifferent. The moment he heard Lot, his nephew, was taken captive, he did not show him, he didn't say, deserves him right. Let him go through it. I will watch him get grinded. No. He loved his nephew Lot, and there was a genuine love, and this love had a manifestation. And then there was a third thing that characterized his faith, and that is in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This had to do with his victory over the kings. He fought those four kings and he overpowered them. Okay, now the battle is over. He's coming back. You know, sometimes the most vulnerable times in our lives are when we are victorious. We normally let our guards down when everything is going fine, right? The most, I would say the times where we need to guard our hearts the most are the times when we are at our peak, victorious. So picture Abraham returning, and Abram is met by two kings. There's always two kings. Watch out for that. He's met by two kings. In Genesis 13, we see that Lot was going after Sodom and Gomorrah, right? But in Genesis 14, we see that the king of Sodom is pursuing Abraham. That's a very interesting place. It's one thing for a believer to covet the things of the world maybe and to go and indulge in it. But it's quite another thing when the king of Sodom himself comes to greet you. And the peculiar point at which, and it says here in verse 17, king of Sodom went out to meet him. Immediately, that was countered by another king. Thank God for that. Okay? There was a royal recognition of the king of Sodom. He was actually happy and grateful that Abram won the battle for him. Who wouldn't be happy, right? And he's coming with an attitude, and he's coming with a great gratefulness in his heart, and he's also coming with a proposal for Abram. Okay, just then we see he is met by another king by name Melchizedek. Melchizedek was another king, king of Salem. But he was also the priest of the Most High God. Why did Melchizedek meet Abram before the king of Sodom met Abram? This is really what happens in our lives often. When we have our spiritual victories, when we have a spirit of blessedness for people to see and witness it for themselves, when they see that the Lord is with us, the Lord was with Joseph. When our lives begin to bear the testimony of God's blessedness upon our lives, we are always in many ways, I would say always and in many ways, unique ways, intercepted by Melchizedek before the king of Sodom comes out to meet us. Melchizedek, first and foremost, is pictured as a priest. And he gave Abram bread and wine. Bread and wine speaks of the memorial of a sacrifice. Okay, when we take communion, we are not crucifying Christ afresh, but it is a memorial. So Abraham's spirit was refreshed by the memorial of the sacrifice. This is what the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ always does to us. And we don't even know sometimes how the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ has intervened for us in such a timely moments where we were refreshed by bread and wine, spiritually speaking. You know, that has to do with, so Abraham partaking of the bread and wine has to do with spiritual refreshment. He is refreshed. He is spiritually brought to a place of total quickening. He is edified. He enters into the full assurance in terms of God's relationship with him. This is what a priest does. Priest has access into the presence of God, and he has a way of representing Jesus Christ as a high priest. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 7, it is Christ is spoken of as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek suddenly pictures and he's gone. Like, you know, imagine someone coming and he's gone. And you try to trace his genealogy, you can't find it. God hid it. He is made to look like the Son of God in what sense? And that is why particularly he was a man, of course. There was no mention of his daddy and his grandfather or his lineage. There's no mention from which tribe or where he's from or nothing like that. He appears on the scene and then he ministers to Abram and then he disappears from the scene because he was purposely made to look like Jesus Christ, who is a high priest who abideth a priest forever. So the priesthood of Jesus Christ speaks for us something unique. It speaks of something that is eternal, a ministry that is eternal. The Levitical priest could not continue his priesthood by virtue of death. And his lineage was extremely important, which tribe he came from and which family he came from. But that was not so in the case with Melchizedek. And that is why he's called a priest after the order of Jesus Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that is a more superior priesthood than the priesthood of Levi. Isn't that amazing? So it is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 7 verses 1 to 3. The lesser pays tithes to the greater. So when Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, Levi, his great grandson, was already in the loins of Abraham. And in Abraham, Levi also gave tithes to Melchizedek. In the tribe of Levi, they collected tithes from people. But in this case, Levi himself in Abraham, because he was in the loins of Abraham at that time, is paying tithes to Melchizedek to show the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. There's another aspect. So there's eternality with the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The second thing about the priesthood of Jesus Christ is this. The Father will not turn away any prayer that the Son prays to the Father on behalf of us, because his prayer is according to God's will for our lives. The Father and Son are not fighting on the throne and saying, that fellow, but Father, please. No, I can't. There's no like tug of war there. The Father cannot turn away any prayer that the Son of God prays to the Father for you and I. What security it is there in that, no? What security we have in that? Our spiritual well-being today is because of the prayers of the Son of God for us. At moments where we didn't even realize what we were up against. At moments when we had victory moments and peak moments, gullible moments in our lives, moments of weakness and failure, moments of victory, it was all the time. It was not a victory that kept us, but it was the prayers of the Son of God. So Melchizedek is beautifully typified here as one who is edifying Abraham. You get so edified. Sometimes after outreach is the time to be edified. Because when virtue goes out of you, you're a little weak. After a great service is the time to be edified. That's why we have fellowship. We don't play soccer after that immediately. We have fellowship. It's a time of edification. It was Abraham being brought into full assurance of faith. A reminder of God's past faithfulness can make me very thankful to God. But that necessarily is not the provision for me for the test that I'm going to face. I'll repeat that again. A reminder of God's past faithfulness in our lives can make us very thankful as people, but that necessarily doesn't always serve as a provision for us for what we are going to face. Therefore, the Melchizedek must visit us. Has he visited us at any point in time? Yes, he's there. He's the high priest. He's praying for us in heaven. He ministers to us bread and wine. He brings the virtues of the finished work to us, and he builds us up in the faith. If there is any condemnation or guilt that we are struggling with, he deals with that because we are refreshed with bread and wine. We are not condemned. His visit doesn't condemn us. His visit actually refreshes us. We are quickened, we are edified, and we are brought into the full assurance of faith. So for what we are going to be faced with, in as much as we are thankful for the past faithfulness of God in our life, the provision we need to have for what we are going to be faced with is nothing but the refreshment that comes through bread and wine. In other words, we need to be reassured and reinstated in a fresh way the convictions that we have in Jesus Christ and what who God is to us. This happened to Abraham while the king of Sodom was on his way to meet him. There was a second thing that happened to Abraham, and this was through a benediction in verse 19. Genesis 14 verse 19. Abraham got a unique revelation of God as the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. The word El Elyon, it's a rare usage in the Old Testament. Mary speaks about that, a little bit of El Elyon, in Luke chapter 1. There are at least four occurrences of this word El Elyon. He gets a unique revelation of God as the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And the word El Elyon means God the Supreme One above all the local deities that people would approach to get their needs met. He is the Supreme One, the Most High God. And as El Elyon, He is the possessor of heaven and earth. So two things happened to Abraham here because of Melchizedek's visit. He was edified. He was edified, or we can say he was amazingly refreshed. Number two, he was renewed. He was renewed in a fresh way. And what was he renewed in? He was renewed in the revelation of the nature and character of God. Now he's ready. And interestingly, why did Melchizedek come at this time? Because through the ministry of Melchizedek, Abraham was being prepared for the king of Sodom. King of Sodom is coming. You know, king of Sodom is coming. Now, king of Sodom, I'm sure he went and shook hands and all that and said, thank you very much. And that was a normal thing. I'm grateful for what you have done. Gratitude is definitely fine with that. That was normal, right? Then he had a proposal. And what was the proposal? Abraham, you have the people and you have the goods. You are the victorious warrior, right? You do one thing. You give me the people and you take all the spoils of the victory for yourself. Keep all the goods for yourself. Become a rich man. Keep everything for you. Keep all the goods for yourself, but give me the people. You know, it was customary in those days to divide the spoils of the victory, especially if the spoils of the victory had something to do with another person whom you have helped. So it was actually normal for the king of Sodom to make that proposal. It was in isagoges we find that it was just customary. It was nothing wrong with that. Give me the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and you keep the goods to yourself. And also, it was just absolutely normal for anyone to accept that proposal. But you know, did Abraham accept the proposal? He did not accept the proposal because Abraham was not normal. He was abnormal. When Melchizedek has a ministry toward us, we are abnormal. That statement does not need any explanation because we do understand. That is why the people of the world can look at us and say, his life doesn't make any sense. We are all normal people. Look at that person who calls himself a believer in Jesus Christ. He is abnormal. Abraham was governed by a principle that was really abnormal. And you know what that principle was? He was governed by faith. He was governed by faith. And this is what Abraham said. Sorry, buddy. You take the goods also. I have lifted up mine hands unto the Lord. Now he is reiterating. He is already edified in his heart through the ministry of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Now he is reiterating the revelation that he got, which was necessary for him to face the test that was coming from the king of Sodom. It is the doctrine that keeps us. I repeat that again. There is never a time not to be built up in the faith. Because it is the times when we are not edified and it is the times when we are not built up in the word of God that the king of Sodom is coming on his way to meet us. thank God for the Melchizedek that we have, a high priest. He has a way of ministering and refreshing to us the bread and wine. He has a way of building us up and refreshing our spirits in the grace of God, loving us unconditionally. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts in Romans chapter 5 verse 5, and we are brought into the full assurance of faith. And then God is also faithful to speak the doctrine to us, that especially in line with what we are going to be faced with. Once Arumba pastor gave the meaning of this word epinosis, and he said it points to advanced knowledge. Because there are sometimes we sit in the church and we look at the preacher and we say, what is he talking about? It doesn't apply to me today. Because what does the skin of an animal have to do with what I'm going through? Maybe if the portion is from Leviticus. What does a fire from heaven has to do? What does that have to do with what I'm going through? Or the situation that I'm faced with in my workplace? No, it is what? It is advanced knowledge, and the skin of the animal and the fire from heaven will matter maybe 10 days from that day. So Melchizedek, the renewal of the mind, the ministry of Melchizedek has to do with that advanced preparation that comes to us so that we can discern the wiles of the kings of Sodom. King of Sodom has to do with the spirit of the place. So and this is what Abraham discerned. Abraham had a mind renewal. He had an amazing understanding of God as El Elyon. And he said, I've lifted up my hands. And totally, you know, when we lift up our hands, what does that mean? A total surrender, a total attitude of worship. He said, I am submitted to El Elyon. And then he said, you know something, I will not even take a shoe latchet from you. Not even a thread. Wasn't he being a little tough here? I will not even take a thread. Because you know something? You will say that I have made Abraham rich. I don't want that. You know, what was the purpose of King of Sodom's proposal? Abraham could discern it because he was edified and he was renewed. He was edified in the finished work principles. He was edified in God's relationship with him, and he was renewed in a fresh way with a specific nature and character of God for his life. And he could immediately discern and said, you know something? You are going to say later on, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham is now cherishing in that which is eternal because of El Elyon. You know, we are not of the world. Are we of the world? John 15 verse 18, we are not of the world. We are not of the world and we are prosperous. But that prosperity is because of God in 3 John and verse 2. Not because of the world. Is that amazing? So Abraham could say, well, I don't want it. Now to the king of Salem, he is acknowledging his dependence. But to the king of Sodom, there is an assertion of independence. Total independence. I don't have anything to do with you. Okay, the three Canaanite men who came with me, give them their portion, that is, you know, but I'm not going to even take a thread or a shoe latchet, because you should not say that you've made Abraham rich. I am rich. If I am rich, that's because God has made me rich. Isn't that amazing? And he had that conviction because of Melchizedek's visitation upon his life. Not otherwise. It would not, because King of Sodom, remember, is very subtle. Abraham had a royal acknowledgement. He had a very royal acknowledgement. None other than the King of Sodom is coming to him. It was very royal, isn't it? And what is he coming? He's coming to shake hands and say, well done. You know, see, it is one thing for us maybe to be tempted with what is in the world. But it's quite another thing when the world will say good things about us. It's quite another thing when the world will begin to acknowledge the prophet you are to them. Then Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, beware when men speak well of you. Because that is a king of Sodom tactic. So he, Abraham, the purpose of the help from Sodom, king of Sodom, was to make Abraham totally indebted. But this is what Abraham had toward Melchizedek, king of Salem. He's totally dependent. Toward king of Sodom, he's asserting his independence, saying, I don't have anything to do with you. Not even a thread or a shoe latchet. To the king of Salem, Melchizedek, he is in total submission. He is in total submission. To the king of Sodom, he is indifferent. To Salem, to the king of Salem, Melchizedek, not to Salem, king of Salem, Melchizedek, Abraham had a spirit of humility. But toward king of Sodom, Abraham had a spirit of dignity. Yes, buddy, what's going on? No, thank you. Oh, that's all right. No, thank you. And this is the point. This is the real secret to having power with God. This is the real secret to having power with God. Discern the times when Melchizedek visits us. There are always two kings. You know, for the most part, we are all doing good, isn't it? We're all doing good. God has blessed us, and we know God has blessed us, and we have that spirit of blessing upon us, and we are there to even share it with others in the body of Christ. But remember, there are always two kings on their way. There are always two kings. And God in his faithfulness will see to it that before the king of Sodom pays us a visit, the king of Salem has already visited us. And his visitation is very timely in the sense that he knows how to bring us from a place of not having rule over our spirit in Proverbs 25:28 to being in a place of being totally assured in our faith. Thank God for all the great things God has done for us. But yesterday's victories don't guarantee us victory today. Thank God for that. A recall of that will always make us very grateful because it is a testimony of God's faithfulness toward our lives. But for us to have what it takes to face what is coming our way, we need to be brought into the full assurance of faith, and which means that we must be reinstated and refreshed in the convictions that we have about who God is to us and who we are in him. That ministry, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, supplies us. And do you know how he does it to us? Through the memorial of the sacrifice. We are brought into, that's why just be like, sometimes it's so good to go back to the basics and just be encouraged in who God is in our lives and just allow God to really love us and build us up and to know what the blood of Christ has done for us, and in a fresh way to dwell on it, because that is so important for us. It is necessary for our spirits to be refreshed. It is so necessary for our spirits to be refreshed and to believe it like never before. God gives us finished work rest in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. Every time we read the word and we have believed that word before, but in a fresh way when we mix faith with it, we begin to experience a finished work rest, and that is a prophet we have. Allow the Melchizedek, who is our Melchizedek in heaven, to minister to us bread and wine. We need it so much. We need it so much. Because kings of Sodom are around the place. See, if a person like Lot would test the motivation of our faith, of what we do by faith, there is the ministry of Melchizedek who would instill in us the right kind of motivation for us to serve by love. So that motivation must come from him, so that when there are lords who are taken captive, God can use us to exercise a faith that works by love. Isn't that beautiful? So we have our Melchizedek. Thank God for that. You know, 24:7, he is there for us. He appears in Hebrews chapter 9, talks about he appears in the presence of God for us. Not, he's not against us. And he's constantly ministering bread and wine. He's constantly, and that is why the word of God has an exhortation in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 29, not to do despite to the spirit of grace. Because he's ministering that to us. He's ministering. Our spirits are being refreshed, and maybe we don't understand. We come to the church, we have the ministry of the bread and wine. When there's a worship, when there's fellowship, what are we being refreshed by? What are we being edified by? We are being edified by the ministry of the bread and wine that Melchizedek offers us. But along with that, there is also a fresh revelation of the nature and character of God that prepares us. It doesn't say when King of Sodom came, that King of Salem was standing beside and saying, "Wup, wup, wup, go, wup, you're not allowed." No. It doesn't say that. He comes, but for some reason, God allows the kings of Sodom to visit us. But before that, he makes sure he has ministered to us. Now, based on that ministry we have received of Melchizedek, we are in a place to discern the tactics of kings of Sodom and actually tell them, "You know something? I don't even need a thread or a shoe latchet from you, lest you should say, you have made Abram rich." Most of us have credit cards, I believe, right? Credit cards, we know credit cards. Credit card policy is not that good. And I was thinking, maybe there is a king of Sodom tactic in the credit card. Okay, have a credit card if you have a plan to pay it back, okay? But if you don't have a plan to pay it back, don't hold the credit card, get rid of it, you know? Credit card means get what you want. Get what you want. But forever you are now indebted to that. You have to pay your whole life to give back what you got. Kings of Sodom comes with credit cards. Watch out. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you want. But then you are stuck. You really cannot make a decision with the liberty. I'm just joking, okay? But you really cannot make a decision with the liberty that you have, a decision to obey the will of God, because now you are indebted. So I get what I want, but after that, I have to work and slog to pay it back. Then again, I go to the mall and something is so tempting. I get what I want. Now you got to work the next 2-3 months to pay it back. And forever, you are getting what we get, what we want, and forever, we are indebted to it. You know, Jesus Christ doesn't minister to us like that. He ministers the bread and wine. He ministers the bread and wine. Always watch out. There are two kings getting ready to meet us. There are two kings. And the ministry of Melchizedek is really what gives us refreshment and renewal in such a way so that we can discern the serious perils, but also have the power and the authority to negate the offer made by the king of Sodom. You know, it takes a real man to withstand the honor that is offered by the king of Sodom. It takes a real man. And do you know who that man is? You. Because we are also children of Abraham, because we are living by a principle called faith. And I think Abraham's guts or metal, we can say, like his dumb, was tested when the king of Sodom came to him. And he proved himself to be a real man in the light of all the things that were available to him. And he could say, "I have lifted up my eyes to the Most High God, that I am not going to even take a thread or a shoe latchet, lest you should say, you have made Abram rich." Do not let the world in any way make us indebted to it. I'll repeat that again. Whatever the schemes, whatever decisions we make, let it be the altar and the tent. Never let the world system, when there is honor coming from the world system, gratitude and honor and promotion, that is the time Melchizedek is also with us. And what is he feeding us with? The bread and wine. Never, never, never. Because our decisions are basically primarily oriented to his God's eternal purpose for our lives. And that is what characterizes God's will. Because the unfolding of God's plan shows us the fulfilling of God's eternal purpose. And in no way may we make the world system, or may do not in any way make the world system have an edge over you, in the sense that we feel indebted to the world. We are not indebted to the world. Why? Because we have lifted up our hands to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, who is more than able to supply us what we need, more than able to encourage us and to quicken us and to provide for us and to use us in a mighty way. Where? In the world. In the world, for people like Lot and other people who have been taken captive. Now, when Lot made himself indebted to the world, what happened? Lot was taken captive. Abram lived a life where his heart was purified by faith, but because he overcame this indebtedness that the world was trying to, King of Sodom, are always trying to make us indebted to them by what they have to offer. But we have a place, and we are no match for it unless we have the ministry of the Melchizedek toward us. And he comes and he's refreshing us. You know, if, you know, there are times when we feel edified looking at a child, right? Because a child has the joy of the Lord. So I'm sitting worried about 100 things in my life, and a kid runs by and says, "Hey, hi, how are you doing?" I'm like, okay, look at him. Maybe I should be like him. There is a ministry of edification. There's a ministry of refreshment. There's a ministry of assurance. Receive that ministry and receive the renewal that God has for us. This is what will keep us in a place of liberty for obeying the will of God for our lives, whatever that may be. This is what a life of faith is all about. Amen? God has a ministry toward us. You know, Melchizedek will never leave us any time. Thank God, you know, King of Sodom comes. He has a plan in mind. And he's coming. He's coming with a proposal. Melchizedek immediately comes, spends time with Abraham. He's all set. And then Melchizedek leaves. Now, Abraham could talk to King of Sodom and say, you know something? I'm a real man. Thank you for your shaken, but I don't want the honor of the world system. And I don't want the proposal that the world system has to offer. You know? Amen? One man of God said this, and I'll close with this. It is so important, and I'm just thinking through on that. It is so important for the ministry of Melchizedek in our lives, because if not, the proposal of the king of Sodom can cause us to sanctify our covetousness. Let me just reiterate it. It is so important for the ministry of the Melchizedek in our lives to be brought back to the place of who we are in Christ. Otherwise, the tactic of the king of Sodom is such that we could be brought to a place of wanting to sanctify our covetousness rather than being refreshed in who we are in our relationship with God. You know, that is why coming to church is so important. We don't know what this week awaits us. We come to church and make it a point to come to church, and God will honor you for that, and we all do that faithfully. Don't miss church for whatever reason. Come, hear the word, stay built up, be renewed, be refreshed. Be refreshed. Then we can discern the kings of Sodom, and we can be so thankful for the ministry of Melchizedek. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless us with these thoughts, you would refresh us. Thank you for the ministry of a high priest in heaven. Your word says you abide a priest continually, eternality, but also you have power. Thank you for your prayers for us constantly. Thank you for the ministry of the bread and wine, the finished work, virtues that really just refreshes our spirit, quickens us. We feel even spiritually, experientially, we are so graced out in the beloved. A sense of belonging, recognizing that we are so loved. You have a plan for our lives. You are eternal. Heaven is a real place. It's worth running the race, as was well said a couple of weeks back, with patience, with patience. It's worth running that race. Thank you for that ministry, and thank you for the renewal that comes with the word of God, comes from the word of God constantly to us, as a result of which we have the power to discern and we have the power to withstand. We thank you, we praise you, and bless these thoughts to our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.